this morning. Amen. On another Sunday morning. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you. We ask you, oh God, to continue to have your way in this sanctuary. God, as our decrease, I'm asking for you to increase. As we get out of your way, God, and let you have your own way, we humbly submit ourselves to you, Father. Is it in Jesus' name that we pray and ask? And we all say, amen. I want to come to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, look at verse 7. And then I want to turn over to John, chapter 1, and look at verse 29. Amen. John chapter 1 and look at verse 29. I want to start off us reading the word of God together. Isaiah 53 verse 7. Can we look at that together, please? Isaiah 53 and 7. Let's read it. To go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and look at verse 29. As it is there on the screen, I want to ask you to read it with me. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. I want to pick a topic from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, when we looked at how the statement in the scripture said he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I want to talk on the persecution of an innocent lamb. The persecution of an innocent lamb. God knew everything that was going to take place prior to everything taking place. The Bible tells us that God created everything and everybody. The Bible tells us that when God created Adam and Eve, they came last. In other words, that God always gave man and woman everything they needed. He was a God that knew what we would need. And knowing what we would need, he created the heavens, the earth, the fowls of the air, and the sea animals, those that traveled upon the land as animals. Place the garden in its place, place everything there, and then created man and woman. And after he created the man and woman, then he breathed life into their body. And so other words here is that he knew that they would need a body, so he created the body before he gave the body life. God, that's good to know. And so all provision was provided prior to the life of mankind. This lets us know that God is a all-knowing God, a foreknowing God, a foreseeing God. Good God Almighty. And if we were really to get spiritually, technically about it, we would also say it is the will of God. God established his will even when he established his knowing. When we look here at this thing here, a persecuted lamb, we have to first think about this, that lambs were used for persecution. Lamb is a young sheep. God knew aforetime that man would mess up. And so God had established aforetime lambs, sheep, and goats, and rams to be a sacrifice to give back a relationship with man and God. Looking at the text is that a lamb of an animal constantly had to be slaughtered. The blood had to constantly come out of the lamb. They had to search through lambs to find the right one, because a lamb that was born with spots could not be used. Can you imagine them trying to find the best sacrifice to give to God, going through a whole lot of lambs that have spots on them? If there were lambs with spots, it was not accepted of God. Lambs that had problems could not be sacrificed to God. Therefore, it had a lot to do with the relationship of mankind because of the sacrifice. God wanted them to use innocent lambs without a spot on it. He didn't want so much of a sheep. He wanted a lamb that was blemished. He wanted a lamb that had no problems. He wanted an innocent lamb, a baby, a lamb that he would accept, that was pure. Good God Almighty. But going through the text lets me know, as I travel through the body, is that God looked at this thing, is that man kept using lambs. And even though the blood was shed from lambs, it did not fulfill the satisfaction of God to actually redeem man back to God. What happened is that the blood of the animals, he accepted it, but only it covered their sins. That means their sins kept coming up before God. God had already ordained to have the ultimate lamb, the ultimate sacrifice in place, because when he got tired of man's lamb, he was going to come down himself as the ultimate lamb. Oh God. But God has a set time for everything and everybody. Everybody in here have to understand that there's a set time for you to get your blessing. There is a set time for you to get your breakthrough. And some of us that are trying to rush this thing, can I tell you something? Take your time and go through whatever you have to go through, because after you go through it, everything gonna be all right. I realize by looking at the text that the more I go through, the bigger the blessing's gonna be. Not only is the bigger the blessing going to be, the stronger I'm gonna get while I'm going through what I go through. But I realize I can't go through it complaining. Turn to your neighbor, say, you complain too much. Good God Almighty. You complaining, and we've already established the fact that God already knows everything. Good God Almighty. to say, God's got a GPS on my life. He knows where I'm located. God knows the condition that I'm in. God knows the place, the frame of my mind. Where's at the state of it? God knows everything. So stop complaining. When I look here at the text, I look at the text, and the text tells me that God said in the Old Testament, before the foundation of the world, that the Lamb was prepared to be persecuted. God here gets tired of the animals. He gets tired of the lambs. And he says that he's going to be the ultimate sacrifice. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, I want you to understand this thing here, is that why he's going to have to go through persecution is because of you and me. Oh God, help me somebody. What happens in the church is that the church likes to point the finger at individuals. The church likes to establish what sin is bigger than the other sin. Can I tell you a simple little lie, white lie, black lie, can still send you to hell. Help me somebody. What happens here is that God said that I've got to deal with this thing, because the blood of the goat and the lamb that keeps coming back up, Christ said that I've got to finish this thing once and for all. Not just because of your sins you did yesterday, but because of the one you're going to do tonight. Help me somebody. The one you did on last night and the one you may do tomorrow. God says, I'm that type of God. He said, look, don't say you're not going to sin, because I am a foreknowing God. And as long as I'm on the throne, sit on the mercy seat, talking to God, I know you're going to sin, because if you weren't going to sin, he said, I would stop praying. But thank God, somebody tell your neighbor, thank God he ain't stop interceding, because I'm going to make some mistakes. I'm going to get out of hand at times, but thank God that my Redeemer still lives. So when we look here at the text begins to talk about here that Christ is our Lamb. John says that he looked and saw Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lamb. He's the baby of God. John says here, behold the Lamb of God. Watch this thing. Not just any lamb. He said, but the Lamb that taketh away our sins. Good God Almighty. I was looking in Isaiah. Isaiah talks about not only is the Lamb is going to take away our sins, but Isaiah 53:7 talks about the mistreatment of the Lamb. Talks about his oppression, talks about his affliction. But I want to go somewhere with you. When I begin to go through my Bible, I went to Luke and I looked at chapter 22 and I got stuck there. Because Luke chapter 22, somebody go with me to verse 41. Luke chapter 22, verse 41. I looked at this thing, is that the persecution of an innocent lamb. I see here that Jesus Christ foreknown that he was going to go through persecution. And the reason why he was going to go through persecution is because of my thoughts and your thoughts. The reason why he was going to go through what he was going to go through is because of your ways and my ways. The reason why he was going to go through is because our character was not satisfied to God. And I believe that everybody in here can testify you had a bad character. Everybody in here can testify that the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. You can testify not only that, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You might as well get off your holy high horse and stop thinking that you've been holy all your life. You might as well get off of it. You might as well get off the step, as you always been on top and never been at a low state. You already need to understand that all of us have been in a valley. Luke chapter 22, verse 41. Read that with me. And it says, And he was withdrawn about a stone cast and kneeled down and prayed. Stop right there. When Jesus Christ was in the garden of Gethsemane, it was right at the time that the Lamb was getting ready to be persecuted. The Bible says he went to pray. And when he went to pray, to talk to God concerning the persecution that he was going to go through. Now when I look here at verse 22, he says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In other words here, the other gospel says, Lord, if it's another cup, if it's another way, can it be that way versus the one I've got to go through? I want you to understand something here, that when I look at this thing, Christ was in his man state. He was in the state of understanding that he was going to be a persecuted lamb. And so he went in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray and talk to God concerning what he was going to go through. Watch this. It tells me that he felt something when he was in the garden, because the next step in verse 43 says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Fix my mic up there. It said, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. It tells me that he prayed concerning what he was going to go through. And when he prayed concerning what he was going to go through, I skipped the verse and I go back to 43. 44 says, and being in agony, he prayed more. Watch this thing. Christ knew that he had to go through some problems, go through some trouble. The pain that Christ was faced with was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went through the pain. Help me, somebody. Anybody here that knows they have to go to an operation, have to go through surgery, you already begin to pray before you go through surgery. Help me, somebody. Anybody that's got to go to court, you start praying now before you go to court. You already suffering. You already feeling the pain. You already going through the agony before it ever happens. Oh God, help me, somebody. So he went there to pray, asking God, if I really have to go through this. Nevertheless, I want you to understand something, is that God shows us this thing here in the Garden of Gethsemane. He shows us here that he understands that he's going to go through persecution, but he prayed to God concerning it. Anybody in here know how to pray? If you don't know how to pray, get sick, you'll learn. You don't know how to pray, have trouble in the family, you'll learn. You don't know how to pray, let something happen to one of your children, you'll learn. You don't know how to pray, get a pink slip from the job, you'll learn. You don't know how to pray, wait till your enemies rise up against you, you'll learn. If you don't know how to pray, wait till the church mistreats you, you'll learn. You don't know how to pray, wait till the one you sleep with hurts you, you'll learn. If you don't know how to pray, you're going to learn how to pray. Oh God. Jesus Christ demonstrates that you're going to go through some things, and you need to get somewhere and pray to God so God can help you get through your situation. I believe here that what Jesus was doing is that Jesus was going through prayer in an agony state before he was even faced with it. God Almighty. When I look at the text, also the text lets me know is that in prayer the angel of the Lord came to give him strength. Help me, somebody. Prayer will give you strength. And so when I look at this part here, after he finished praying, the Bible tells me that he had strength. And so after you have strength, now you can go through the operation. After you have strength, now you can be faced with the persecutions on the job. After you've already come up off your knees, now you can deal with the folk that want to talk about you. After you have come up off your knees, you can deal with the folk that say they're going to repossess everything you have. After you have prayed about it, because God's going to give you strength to deal with
anybody understand where I'm coming from? After you talk to God, He will come down and give you strength. You will be able to deal with, come on, devil. Give it your best shot. Do what you're trying to do. I went on my knees and I talked to God about it. And when I talked to God about it, the angel of the Lord came down and gave me strength. Hit me with your best shot. I prayed about it. Lord, I look here at the text when I continue to look. Here in Luke, it showed me something here. When in Luke, the Bible says that they came and they took Jesus Christ. And when they took Jesus Christ, I want you to understand this thing here, that Jesus Christ had already told Peter that the cock is going to crow because Peter's going to deny him three times. The text tells me here, if I go to 61, it lets me know that when Peter had denied Jesus Christ, this is the part that I want you to understand, is that during your persecution point, you're going to lose those that was with you. Help me, somebody. I look here at Peter, and Peter had followed him, but Peter was afraid of anything happening to him, so Peter had denied Christ. The other disciples were nowhere to be found. Oh, help me, somebody. When you get ready to go through, it's going to be very difficult to have those that was with you to be with you in your persecuted situation. Good God Almighty. Sometimes you're going to have to go through it all by yourself. The text tells me in verse 61, chapter 22 in Luke, look what it says. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. Watch this thing. Can you imagine that Jesus Christ was there in the arms of the enemies? And Peter was a distance from Jesus. And he had denied him. And after he denied him, Jesus looked from a distance to say, Peter, did not tell you you're going to deny me? Peter, you can't go through what I'm going through now. I've got to go through this by myself. He reminds him of what he said. Now watch this. I want you to go to verse 63, Luke chapter 22. This is the understanding. I want you to see. Verse 63 says, and the men that held Jesus mocked him. I want you to understand something, is that the men that held Jesus, before anything that really was taking place, before he was moved from hall to hall, I want you to see here how this innocent lamb was mocked. Before he went even to the council, the men started mimicking him. Good God Almighty. They started teasing him. They started trying to imitate Jesus' walk. I can imagine somebody grabbed a casket and touched it and to see was anything going to rise up out of it. I can see them trying to mimic a powerful God that we serve. Good God Almighty. The Bible says here they mocked him. Other words, they were trying to talk like him and stutter like him. While they were mocking him, the next verse said not only that, but they smote him. Watch this. Now I want you to understand that at this time, I believe, due to the scripture, that they did not hit him in the face, but when they smote him, it means that they took an object and hit him on the back, on the legs, or on his chest somewhere. It wasn't then when they hit him in his face, but it was part of his persecution as an innocent lamb. Watch this. He mocked, and then they smote him. And the reason why I say it wasn't in the face, because verse 64, look what it says. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face. Now watch this. The stroke on the face came after they had hit him with an object on his body. Can I get a witness here? He was going through this for you. He was going through this for you and I. But during his persecution, they blindfolded him. The humility that Christ had to go through to establish your relationship and my relationship back with God. Good God Almighty. Can you imagine your friends getting together, laughing at you, talking about you, and when you walk in the door, they stop and they walk in the corner and start giggling? Can you imagine that you walk up in a dark room and folks start pushing on you, start hitting on you? Can you imagine that happening to you? This is what Jesus did. They blindfolded him, and then somebody struck him in the face. After they struck him on the face, he was asked a question. The question was, he said, prophesy who it is that knocked you in the face. Oh, y'all don't hear me. They were teasing my God. They were jumping on the lamb. They were persecuting our innocent lamb. The Bible said he had no sin. He was innocent of sin. The Bible said that he was innocent of the crime that was pronounced on him. But the one that was guilty was you and I. Can I get a witness here? He took a slap on the face. That slap you and I should have. He allowed him to put a blindfold on his head. And it should have been you and me. But instead, an innocent lamb did it for us. Good God Almighty. You now wonder why they say all to him I owe. Because he's the one that paid the price. Oh God. Look at the next verse. The text says in 25, and many other things. I want to stop right there. Blasphemous, it says. Can I tell you that you can't imagine what they were doing to him? Can I tell you something? When folk don't love you, folk don't care about you, they don't care what they do to you. People without a conscience will hurt you because you don't mean nothing to them. Watch this. If they hurt their own mother and father, what you think they'll do to you? Help me somebody. Folk here will mistreat you to the max without a conscience. Oh God. The Bible says here in verse 66, as soon as it was day. This tells me that they mistreated him all night long. But as soon as it was day, they took the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? I want you to understand something here. And that Jesus Christ, when he was being hit, when he was being slapped, when he was being picked on, had already been given strength from God to deal with it. Good God Almighty. That's why he was so few at words. Because it wasn't really nothing to say, because God had already confirmed that everything is going to take place. Oh God. I wish I had some folk that would understand that you're going to go through some things and just deal with it and know that after a while it's going to be over. When I look here at the text, when they took him to the council, they begin to ask him questions. Now they were asking him questions, but he's tired and he's been up all night and he's been beat up all through the night. And they asked him the question, but look how Jesus responds. Number one, they said, Abba the Christ. He said, if I tell you, you won't believe it. Watch this thing. He said, if I tell you who I am, you won't believe it. He said, number one understands here is that this whole time, over the 3.5 years, you watched me, you've seen me, you've heard me talk about who I am. And so if I tell you now, you still won't believe it. You saw them get up out of the grave. You saw them get healed from sin. But you still didn't believe it then, and you still won't believe it now. He said, I'm not going to waste my time trying to convince somebody that's already made up in their mind that I ain't who I said I am. Can I get a witness here? Too many of us are trying to waste time trying to convince folk of who God is. Can I get a witness here? Every Sunday when I get up to preach, there's only so many ears that the word of God is going to fall on. Can I get a witness here? I often say, no matter how many messages I preach to everybody, just ain't going to get it. Can I get a witness here? And everybody that's up in the church ain't going to heaven. Can I get a witness? And it's because you've already made up in your mind that the only reason why you came to church this morning is because of repetitiousness. Good God Almighty. Because I know for the next 2 months, some of you ain't going to come unless it's Mother's Day. Help me, somebody. So I might as well go on and preach to you while I can. Just maybe somebody in here that the word of God is going to follow. Can I get a witness here? I told somebody I might as well take up 2 offerings because they ain't going to give nothing else for a long time. Can I get a witness here? Can I talk to you for a little bit? When I look at the text says, if I tell you who I am, you won't believe. Watch this. He said, and then I ask you who I am, you won't answer. Can I get a witness? He says, not only that, but neither if I ask you or you ask me. He says, you're neither going to let me go. God. But watch what he says in the text here. He says here, and if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Meaning here, what Jesus was saying is that after this is over, he says, go ahead and do what you're going to do. He says here, I've already got my strength from my Father. He says here in the text here is that I'm not going to waste my time trying to convince you that I am Jesus. He said that some of you have had to go through some things. And if anybody been through here, you know who Jesus is. Because you've been through some things that only God could have brought you out of it. Can I get a witness here? He says you've got to stop using the lamb just to come out when you need him. Can I get a witness here? You can't pull him out like he's a bottle of Clorox, only using him when you gotta wash something white and hot. Can I get a witness here? He said, you got to pull me off the shelf and keep me with you at all times. Too many folk like to pull Jesus out when they get in a hot mess. Can I get a witness here? Too many folk here call on God when they got things in their life, trouble in their life. Oh, I wish the church would learn how to call on God when nothing's going on in their life. I wish you learn how to call God and thank God after God has been good to you. I wish some folk would learn how to worship in the right way. Not worship because folk are looking at you. Not worship because folk know you in your ugly state, but looking at you. Yeah. I wish you start worshiping God and forget about what you used to be looking at and look at what God has brought you out of. I wish I had some real worshipers up in this church this morning that don't mind giving God some praises. That don't mind saying, you don't know what I've been through. I wish I had real folk up in here that said it was Lord God the serve that brought me out of my operation, that got me out of my cancer stage, that fixed it when nobody else would fix it. Oh, I wish I had some real worshipers in here that was a gift God of praise and praise. Watch this. I want you to look at this one. I was looking here at the text, and the text tells me that they took him to Pilate. And Pilate says that I find no fault in him. And the text begins to also say not only did Pilate find no fault in him, But then they found out that they had lied on him. But then Pilate heard that he was from Galilee. Watch this. The text tells me that they sent him to Herod. And Herod went over the area of the Galileans. And when Herod saw Jesus, he said, "Jesus, I heard of you. And I want to see some power that comes from your hand." And Jesus never said a mumbling word. The Bible says here that Herod looked at him as though he was a magician, as though he was a soothsayer. But Jesus never said a mumbling words. Even while he was there with Herod, they kept on smoking him, knocking on him. But sooner or later, they put a robe on him and started mocking the way he was. "Look at your king. He's powerless. He can't raise the dead. He can't heal the blind." But Jesus never said a mumbling words. I'm so glad that he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and got things straight with Jesus before he came out of the Garden. In one text, the Bible says that "I'm not from this world. If I was from this world, if you only knew who was standing by you with a sword in their hands, they'll be cutting everybody up right now." But the text says that Herod sent them back to Pilate, and Pilate said, "Herod and Pilate was enemies at first." But in verse 12, it says, "On that day, Pilate and Herod became friends because of Jesus." Can I tell you something? You got folk that don't like each other, but when they get ready to mess with you, those that don't like each other will come together to try to harm you. Because Pilate was afraid and Herod was afraid, and they came together to try to destroy Jesus. Is it anybody in here know you will make the mountain to take a leap in your destiny? But you got some folk that don't like you, that's trying to come up against you. But can I tell you something? No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. No matter how folk try to hurt you or harm you, as long as I'm in the Lord's hands. The Bible says that when they took him back to Pilate, Pilate got worried and he got nervous. He said, "Why persecute him? He's innocent of the crime." The Bible says that Pilate took him and they scourged him. They whipped him and it beat him, blacking out his eyes. The Bible says his infirmities was changed on him, and he showed the people, the same folk that hollered "Hosanna," the same folk that went down on their knees in a form of worshiping, the same folk hollered out, "Crucify, crucify him." Can I get to a close of the message? When I see this persecuted lamb, innocent of his sin, being persecuted, you ought to think about it. Every time we sin, think about the persecution. Every time we do wrong, think about what he's been through. He was an innocent lamb who was persecuted for you and I. The Bible says when they wanted to persecute Jesus, Pilate said, "I washed my hands from them." They took Jesus and they whipped them some more. They took Jesus, pulled back his skin, and blood came running down. Somebody
says, why were they persecuted? The Bible says he had to be persecuted. He had to go through crucifixion because your sins and my sins had come to the point that we needed to be delivered. It come to a point where we couldn't pray right. So the Lord came down and said, persecute me. I paid a price for what they did. I'm tired of my children not being able to come to the throne all by themselves. I'm tired of my children that don't have no power. So the Bible says, you say after this, you won't have power. After the cross, you're going to have a peace of mind. Go ahead, be worried now, but after a while, you're going to have to worry. Go ahead, struggle now, but in a few days, you're going to have to struggle. Is anybody here know Jesus took our struggle? Is anybody here know the Lord took our pain? He went to the cross on a Friday. The Bible says he hung his head. They stretched him wide. They threw a robe on him, put a crown on him, but he stayed there all day Friday. Later on, the Bible says he looked up towards heaven, said, I'm about to go home. I'm about to leave this place, but before I go, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ain't the Lord all right? Is there anybody here glad the Lord is a forgiving God? Is there anybody here glad the Lord looked up? He said, you finished yelling my hands? Are you finished talking about me? He said, now upon this cross, I told you, if you lift me up, if you lift me up, I'm going to do something you didn't expect me to do. When you whoop me, that wasn't good enough. When you beat me, that wasn't good enough. When you put me on the cross, that wasn't good enough. But if you lift me up, if you lift me up, can I tell you something? Tell your neighbor to lift up Jesus. Tell your neighbor to talk about Jesus. If you talk about Jesus, you won't talk about nobody else. If you talk about Jesus, you'll lose some friends. If you talk about Jesus, it'll take care of your enemies. They lift them up. He died. Did the Lord die, church? Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave. All power in the palm of his hand. Don't be shy of mighty good God. Persecution of an innocent lamb hung on the cross, taking everything away. He said, now your relationship can be established back. He says, now I tore down the veil so you can go straight to the throne of God. Oh, help me somebody. Whatever your situation is, I can take you straight to God. I don't have to stop at mom. I don't have to stop at daddy. God fix it where I can go straight to him. He sat on the throne and he says, come to me, baby. He said, what you crying for? He said, don't you know I know what you're going through? He said, come here. Sit on daddy's lap. I'm going to tell you about a story about a man called Jesus. Oh, help me somebody. He went down there and he went through everything you went through. He knows all about it. He said, but you can come to me now. Who's picking on you at school? Come tell daddy about it. Who's telling you you can't get your education? Come tell daddy about it. Who's telling me you're too old to get the mission completed? Come tell me about it. Who said you're on a deathbed of affliction and you can't recover from it? Come tell me about it. Who said that cancer can take your life off? Can I tell you something? Sickness is of the devil. I've overcome the devil. Come tell me about it. He said, because when you give it to me, I want you to walk away. I want you to walk way away from it. Walk away from it. He said, now let me deal with it. Because when I deal with it, I don't want you to look back, because I'm going to deal with it in a godly way. Can I tell you something? That God wants to deal with your situation. God wants you to tell him about it. The Bible says that Jesus cried, and he died, and he came back on the third day, that we may have eternal life. Can I tell you something? That everybody in here ought to be saved. Because one day he's coming back again. And when he's come, he's coming back for those that belong to him. This is your opportunity to come to Jesus. Will you come? The doors of the church is open. There may be one in here right now that don't know him in the pause of their sins.